WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We are heading into a Crab Cake Tour next week, and we're heading into the other side of March Madness, where Kentucky doesn't get to play anymore. Good luck on the pool with all that. Free agency is weird. We have the tampering period, the you can sign them period, and then the, I know what I said yesterday, but, you know, I feel differently about it today. Ravens, as we talked about, and I know you mentioned Brock Marion, there was another guy named Broderick Thomas back in 98, 99, somewhere in that Marvin Lewis defensive period where there was a press release where we got him, he's coming, and then all of a sudden he's not coming. And I wouldn't say it's that unusual, but certainly, you know, something to be said about Za'Darius Smith backing out and Eric DaCosta going and signing Michael Pierce a couple hours later.
Yeah, I mean, these things do happen. They don't happen that often, but they happen. And I think probably since we've seen this, quote, legal tampering period begin several years back, there's been a little bit more of that. You have a built-in 48 hours where the NFL says it's okay. I mean, tampering has existed for years. I mean, we've talked about that and how it's been at the combine and what have you. But when you do have a built-in 48 hours where you hear these deals leaked and agree to terms, whether it's an agent, whether it's a team executive leaking it to a national reporter, you hear these things and you know, though, that it can't be made official until, what, 4 p.m. on Wednesday, you know, the start of the new league year. So in the case of what we saw with Za'Darius Smith, you know, Marcus Williams and Morgan Moses, they announced those deals. What, it was 20, 25 minutes later. I think Adam Schefter was the first who had the Za'Darius Smith news. But, you know, there was a lot of silence after that. And, you know, one thing I thought was unusual was the fact that Za'Darius Smith, I mean, this is a home, a guy who got his start here coming home. And there was nothing from his side. He had kind of famously tweeted out the eyeball emojis a couple different points over the last month or two, probably as it pertained to what was going on in Green Bay with him. But I think it's very simple what happened. This was a deal that immediately was kind of perceived to be very team friendly at 4 years, $35 million. So there's that. And then he sees what Chandler Jones gets with the Raiders. He sees what Von Miller gets with the Buffalo Bills. And then you just start to think a little bit. And you know it's not official. And you have some reservations. And you probably have someone in your ear, you know, whether it's an old friend or, you know, whoever, kind of saying,
the Cardinals will give you more, dude.
Right. That's all you got. You know, that's all you got. Man, you just made two Pro Bowls. So it happens. Again, you know, you always hear some conjecture as far as, you know, so-and-so didn't really think they had a deal. The other side thought they had a deal. So, you know, getting into that without talking directly to both parties, it's hard to say, but I don't think it's tough to read the tea leaves here in terms of what the deal was, which was very team friendly from a financial standpoint for the Ravens, and looking around at some of the other edge rusher deals. And, you know, Von Miller certainly more accomplished than Za'Darius Smith, but Von Miller's had some injuries in recent years. So Za'Darius Smith coming off of a year where he only played two games. Za'Darius Smith's younger than Von Miller. So, you know, you can kind of look at some of these terms, some of these specifics and say, okay, I can understand it in a vacuum. However, as you mentioned, if you do agree to terms, you know, whether it's a handshake agreement, verbal agreement, whatever it might be, you know, people are going to feel a certain way about that if you break that. But others would say, until you sign on the dotted line, in the same way that if he came in to the facility and took a physical and the Ravens didn't like how his back looked,
they throw
there'd
him
be
out.
No deal. Right. You know, just like we talked about with Michael Brockers a couple years ago. So the big lesson here, beyond talking about the implications of the Ravens still being in a position where they have a lot more work to do with their pass rush, is understanding a deal is not official until it's official. And in the case of the Za'Darius Smith deal, it wasn't official.
Are you saying the WNST's tech service is not official? Is that what you're saying?
Well, that's why I try as much as possible, and I'm not going to say I bat 1,000, but I typically try to word it in a way where it says agrees to. Now, agrees to does not mean it has been officially signed, and you get that Twitter picture.
Well, he did agree to it.
Well, he did, but the point is, I didn't, you know, you don't say signed, officially signed deal until that's what happened. Like, for example,
well, now that they all have Twitter and they have, you know, social media, they show the picture and auction off the pen. And
I was just going to say that. And by the way, we'll get back to Za'Darius Smith and Michael Pierce in a moment, but the photos they tweeted out of Marcus Williams with his family there and his mother having her arms draped around him, looking at the contract and just the euphoria on their faces, really cool. I mean, and those are the kind of things that the last couple of years you didn't have. I mean, family members couldn't be in the facility because of COVID and all of that. So you always do remember when you see something like that, or Morgan Moses with all his children and his son coming up to the table during the press conference and, you know, speaking into the mic a couple of times. You know, those are the kind of things that you kind of take for granted, and you almost become jaded when you're in the sports media.
Well,
for so long.
I would say this for 25 years. I wasn't there the other day, but you mentioning all of these things, I was at all the press conferences, you know, all the signings of all the Shannon Sharps, of all the Tony Siragusas, of all that. And there was always, there's something about that, especially in the old facility, because the new facility is so ostentatious and it's so, you show up and it's this Wonderland cartoon, you know, thing. But when people would show up at the old facility and just getting to know you, and you walk through, Kevin Burns over there, Art's over there, David's over there, Brian's over there, whether it's Marvin or whoever, the Rex Ryan, whoever was sitting on the podium at the time, there definitely is something about all of that that's sort of welcome to the family. And they work very, very hard. For anybody out there that's been employed, Luke, you worked at schools as a teacher. That first day of school, and that, hey, we're going to be together here, we're going to work together. There really is something about that when you're an outsider. Draft is the same thing. I mean, draft days, I've been at more of those press conferences than anything else, but those kids know they're getting drafted and stuff. Most of these veteran guys, they've got agents pulling around. They played somewhere else. They probably lost a lot. They've had a lot of opportunity, and where am I going to live? And I get to choose this time, and I have a wife and kids now, and like all of those things. Those press conferences were always neat, the one you went to this week.
Yeah, no question about it. And, you know, in the case of Marcus Williams, the first time, I mean, he was a second round pick. So it's not as though this guy didn't make any money on his rookie contract.
He was disappointed he wasn't a first round pick.
But you're talking about someone who's now making lucrative money, making top eight, you know, top seven, whatever he, I forget the exact position as far as safeties around the league, but making excellent money. And in the case of someone like Morgan Moses, went to high school in Virginia, went to UVA, played for Washington, got cut last year, goes to the Jets for last season. He's now back in the area, and you kind of see, you know, his wife and kids were there, and you see he appreciates that. And as much as he appreciates being local, he's also someone who acknowledged, hey, I haven't done a whole lot of winning in my career being in Washington most of the time. And he joked, he said, I average about 5 quarterbacks a season. So coming to Baltimore, knowing Lamar Jackson's going to be our quarterback is pretty cool. So, you know, you always have those things. And this is where we can transition back to talking about Michael Pierce, someone who's familiar with the culture here, someone who's been in that building, and he gets cut by Minnesota, a really weird couple years for him, opted out because of COVID 2 years ago, only played 8 games last year, had an elbow issue that, you know, he really didn't get the chance to really show the Vikings why they paid him the money they did a couple years back. But he now comes back to the Ravens on a deal that is fine. You know, I'm not doing cartwheels over this kind of deal in the way that I thought the Za'Darius Smith deal brought tremendous value. So much, in fact, that Za'Darius kind of said, hey, you're getting too much value here, and backed out of it. But they clearly had a need, knowing Brandon Williams, free agent now, Justin Ellis, free agent now, Calais Campbell, free agent. So we figured they had to bring at least one veteran back into that picture. And even finding out this week, Derek Wolf, you know, going on a podcast and kind of talking about his hip and back and not knowing if he's going to play. He says he intends to, but I'm a little skeptical if he's going to be healthy enough. So we knew they had a lot of work to do on their defensive line and still do. So bringing Michael Pierce back to be your nose tackle, it's not going to offer a ton as a pass rusher. Although I will say, despite not collecting many sacks, he is a guy who pushes the pocket a little bit, and I think can set up some other guys, maybe a little more than Brandon Williams did over the years.
They clearly liked him a lot to bring anybody back, whether it was Za'Darius Smith or Pryor McPhee before that. They have an affinity to do that, and they also have an affinity to not let Anthony Levine ever leave. Like, you know, some of those guys, when they're cheap enough, hey, man,
when they're cheap,
you,
right?
Stay here.
Sure, no question. And that was the big thing. I mean, they liked Michael Pierce, but, you know, I think the deal's fine. I like it. It's fine. You know, I don't love it in the sense of we've really seen, and Michael Pierce is a great example of this. He's kind of the last defensive lineman that they either drafted very late or in his case was a priority undrafted free agent that, you know, for years they would find those guys. I mean, it felt like every other year and they'd be part of the rotation and every once in a while they'd move into the starting lineup. But they used to always find those guys. And since Michael Pierce, that's kind of dried up if you really think about it. And even guys they've drafted on the defensive line, you know, Matabike has been fine and pretty solid. But other than that, it's been a lot
of Brandon Williams, all the money at one point. Right. And then after that, they had some injury issues, draft issues.
Yeah.
The big Canadian kid that, you know, sometimes is on the field.
Lawrence Urban, Guy. Bronson Kafusi, you know, Lawrence Guy was actually a guy they brought in from somewhere else.
Yeah.
But some of, you know, Bronson Kafusi, Chris Wormley, I mean, it's been pretty underwhelming, and that's something that the Ravens used to do really well. And as a result, we've seen them dip their toes a little more into free agency where you've brought in Calais Campbell and Derek Wolfe, and now you've brought back Michael Pierce. So I think from an organizational standpoint, I do look at that and it's a little disappointing just in a big picture sense that they used to be so great at finding defensive line talent. And now I feel like they've kind of moved back to the rest of the pack. I mean, that's going to happen. And look, some of it might be that they don't have Clarence Brooks around. And you remember, God rest his soul, but how talented he was as a defensive line coach. So, you know, you have that and you're going to have ebbs and flows. But in terms of a piece that they needed a nose tackle. As much as you'd love to have a pass rushing defensive tackle, you're still going to have to be able to stop the run. You know, even if that's not as important as it used to be 20 years ago, it's still important. So I'm fine with it. It's just one of those moves that you kind of look to and say, okay, are they better now than they were last year going from Brandon Williams and Justin Ellis to Michael Pierce and, you know, whoever it might be, you know, whether it's an Aaron Crawford, a guy that's been on their practice squad and he becomes their backup nose tackle, whether they draft someone, you know, that's where you kind of look at it. And it feels a little more lateral in terms of whereas you bring in Za'Darius Smith and you say, okay, he's going to be an upgrade over Pernell McPhee. So from that standpoint, again, I'm not doing cartwheels over this or saying this is a move that makes them, you know, really moves the meter, but it's still a move they needed to make given how much turnover they're going to have on their defensive line.
Luke Jones is here. Free agency is there. We will be at the Costas this week doing the Maryland Crab Cake Tour. And I'm wearing my Fadley shirt because we're going to be at Fadley's on Wednesday morning at Lexington Market. I'm getting the entire April schedule together here this weekend. So we'll be getting out, having some crab cakes, having some fun. Free agency and Michael Pierce and where is the end and where is the negotiation? Cap space, I know it's always fluid and wherever you expect anything else? I mean, I think already most fans have been like, they spent a lot of money this week for what they do and where they are in cap space and all the uncertainty about six losses in a row and this dirty dozen of free agents hitting the street, right?
Well, I mean, I think at this point, it's a little more unpredictable. Had they officially signed Za'Darius Smith, I think you would have looked at it then and said, okay, there's probably not a whole lot here. Now they can, you know, they can restructure a couple long-term deals. You know, you can restructure Marlon Humphrey's deal, for example, and create a little more room. There's always the Lamar factor if and when they get that deal done to clear some space. But I think now with the Za'Darius deal falling apart and you kind of just look at the net difference. I mean, Michael Pierce, 3 years, $16.5 million, $6.75 guaranteed. I mean, that's not a huge contract by any stretch of the imagination. So they have some room, but I don't think it's necessarily going to be a big ticket item. One, you know, how many big ticket items are still out there? I mean, all right. Could they turn around and make it work and sign someone like Bobby Wagner? Still, I'm sure they could make it work, but might it be a case of you revisit Bradley Bozeman or J.C. Treader of the center of the Browns who was let go earlier this week? You know, one of those guys. And again, these guys come off the board whenever someone gives them the money that they want. But, you know, they still have room to make a couple moves. Do I think it's going to be another Marcus Williams kind of deal? Probably not, because as we talked about in some of our previous conversations, I mean, just look at Williams and Morgan Moses, and now add Michael Pierce into that mix, and especially when it was going to be Za'Darius Smith instead of Michael Pierce, it's hard to really think back to too many times, Nestor, where they did so much to start free agency. I mean, I think back to, a couple years ago, okay, Earl Thomas and Mark Ingram. I really think back to 05 when it was Derek Mason and Samori Roll. I mean, that was a time where they spent big money right out of the gate in free agency. One of the rare times, 2000, it was Shannon Sharpe and Sam Adams, but for the most part, what we've seen this week has been the exception and not the norm in terms of how the Ravens proceed from a free agent standpoint. So from that sense, I think it's tough to necessarily sit here and say, oh yeah, I think they're going to go out and sign another big ticket item. But at the same time, if you had asked me at the beginning of the week if they were going to sign Marcus Williams, who was one of the top three safeties on the market, a top two to hit the market, actually, I would have said, no, I don't anticipate that. So, as we always say, Eric DaCosta and John Harbaugh and company and Steve Bisciotti, they're not giving us a direct line of communication saying, oh yeah, we're going to go sign that guy. So there's always a little bit of expect the unexpected being involved. But again, looking at the numbers without having all of the minutiae of each deal to know how the cap numbers per year break down, I think they have some space left. I don't necessarily know if it's a whole lot where you can expect a massive move beyond something along the lines of, hey, you bring Patrick Ricard back, or hey, you bring back Bradley Bozeman, or hey, you go sign, like I said, if it's a J.C. Tretter or someone like that, where you think, okay, it'll be money, but it's not going to be market-setting, crazy kind of money.
Kentucky blow up your pool?
You know what's so funny? Because of the 17-game schedule, free agency was pushed back a week from where it normally would be. I didn't even fill out a bracket, but you know what?
You know what? Blow your pool up.
And you know what? I don't think I did last year now that I think about it, but one thing, and this is something that I've felt a long time as in terms of NCAA tournaments. First of all, you're probably not going to win your bracket in your pool. So don't let that take away the joy of seeing a St. Peter's upset Kentucky. I mean, look,
that dude's hair was better than mine, and his porn stash was fantastic,
no doubt.
Right?
But let's face it. I mean, we're talking about a market where UMBC knocked off Virginia. That's very recent memory. And
Coppin State.
I want to say, you know what? Virginia may have been my pick to win it all that year. I at least had them in the Final Four. I mean, they were a number one seed. I mean, come on now. But I made up my mind a long time ago that I was never going to be ticked off about my stupid pool in the same way that no one else cares about your fantasy football team but you. But I was never going to let that steal the joy of enjoying an upset, unless it's a case of it's your own team. Like if Maryland, God forbid, if Maryland ends up being a number two seed again one day and they're losing to a 15 seed, that's a little different.
You
but otherwise,
the fun thing we do at a casino, you and me go down next year and just bet the 15s, 14s, and 13s, just $5 a team, just so we can run around and be like, oh my God, I made $75 on St. Peter's on a 15 seed,
Yeah.
So there is a little bit of betting the long horse, right?
Like,
sure. If you're going to bet on it, have fun with it, bet on the 15 seed instead of filling out a bracket. If it actually happens, you'll say, I knew it. I bet $5 on St. Peter's,
exactly.
You have a little bit of that, right?
Yeah, and you can brag to everyone that you bet that and just ignore the fact that you were wrong on all the other ones, right?
I try to give people wise tips is what I try to do when it comes to our friends at the Maryland Lottery.
But there's, I thought I also want to mention, since, hey, we're talking about a Big Ten, Big Ten country here, College Park right down the road, but how about Iowa going down? I mean, the way they played at the end of the season, I mean, we saw what Iowa did offensively.
Never take Iowa in your pool, ever. Never take Marquette unless it's 1976. Never take
Iowa as a number five seed. And if you were looking for a team to be a sleeper to make a deep run, I think Iowa was kind of a popular pick in that way. We saw what Iowa did against the Terps earlier this year. Felt like they were going to score 160 points in regulation before they called off the Dogs. But, These are the matchups that make it fun. And, I like many other people, as I continue to monitor free agency over the weekend, enjoying watching these games and being a little bit of a couch potato. And March Madness is great. And what's so much fun about this is it's the first time in 3 years we can do this in the way that it's being done. Even last year, remember, it was the greater Indianapolis bubble that they had and very limited fan attendance. And, I think the game started on Friday rather than Thursday. I mean, it was just weird. I mean, it was nice because it was better than the year before when there was nothing, but it was weird. So to get back to that pre-COVID kind of NCAA tournament vibe, lot of fun. And yeah, St. Peter's over Kentucky. Can't say that I had that, even if I had filled out a bracket. Certainly wouldn't have predicted that. That's for
all sure. Of the cheating all those years Kentucky has done. That one's for you and Mitch McConnell. Luke Jones joining us here. He is Baltimore Luke. Don't forget Rand Paul. He's that creeps down there too. Luke is here. He's Baltimore Luke. You can find him out on Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn, Snapchat, anywhere that we do things out on the interwebs. You can always email me, ness@baltimorepositive.com. We're going to talk more football. Certainly going to get some baseball, some basketball in here. And Don Moeller and I have had an unbelievable week of conversations. Make sure you're checking that out at WNSD, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore, where we never stop talking Baltimore Positive.